This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Songs with. Songs with.
Ones we can depend on.
Songs with.
How many of us have them?
Songs with.
Before we go any further.
Songs with.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome to Songs with Friends here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. My name is Steve Williams, and joining me once again is Kelly. Kelly, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, today's the first day all week where I haven't felt like I'm dying, so that's an improvement, right?
That's very much an improvement. That's very much.
I didn't have the flu. My heat went out overnight in my apartment, and I didn't realize because obviously I was asleep, and in that time, I apparently caught several various ailments, including but not limited to the Black Plague. So yeah, I missed every day of work since Monday, and it is Friday as we record this. So tomorrow I'll make my triumphant return to being a productive citizen.
Yeah. Us women don't get that luxury. I'm just kidding.
Now, I can feel
you probably had a minor cold though.
I can feel it in your voice. You wanted to hit me with an I hear ya, and there's some trepidation.
Well, I mean, it was, you know, I'm just saying, when men get sick, it seems like it's worse.
Jeez.
I know.
Blatant sexism is not allowed here on Songs with Friends,
one
Kelly.
One time I got bronchitis because I wasn't feeling well, and I was like, whatever, and I just went about my life, and I was like sick for like a month.
See?
Going to work. So it was a bad decision, and then I had bronchitis, and I was like sick for six more weeks, and it was horrible. So,
see, if you just would have stayed home for 2 days, you'd have been better by the end of the week. But no, you had to prove a point and be a badass and further your agenda.
I don't even think I stayed home 2 days once I knew I had bronchitis. Like, I think I went to work the next day.
Jeez. See, as a registered nurse, I advise against this. Rest, take care of yourself, people.
You're right.
Don't do what Kelly did and pour some Tussin directly into your throat and then just keep working.
Don't do anything I do ever.
All right, kids. All right, if you're not familiar with the podcast, here is what we do. We each pick a song and we go through the lyrics. We read the lyrics. We try to figure out if there's a greater story to be told here. Sometimes we get serious and insightful, and sometimes we get just stupid and ridiculous. I think we're going to have a mixture of both this week. First up is a song that Kelly picked. This is from the 1991 album 10. This is Black by Pearl Jam. Kelly, why did you pick this song?
Oh, man. Okay, I'm never going to claim to be like a Pearl Jam, like, knowledge. I think people like love Pearl Jam. They knew a lot. Like, you know a lot of facts about Pearl Jam, I thought today when you were telling me some things. But I love their music. I love their music. And this isn't probably my favorite song, but it's like top three. And I don't know. I just think he can sing. I like his acoustic stuff. And then of course, my creeper stalkerish of Aaron Lewis. I one time saw him do a cover of this song acoustic, and I thought it was like amazing. And so yeah, I don't know. It's a good song, and I think Pearl Jam's awesome, so.
You know, when I was pulling up the lyrics today, that's the first thing that came up was the Aaron Lewis cover.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, that's the mystery. That's why Kelly picked the song, because Aaron Lewis did it. And if Aaron Lewis did it, then it's got to be okay.
He has a cover of Nutshell that's phenomenal. Yes.
I'm going to write a letter to Aaron Lewis.
No.
And see if we can get him to do a cover of Baby Got Back so that you'll pick it for the podcast.
He would be extremely creeped out if he knew all the stuff that I think about that. But anyways, I think he's talented. I can't help it.
That you may or may not have a wallet-sized picture of Aaron Lewis at the corner of your mirror, just like he has the picture of that chick in the video.
It's his wife.
That he looks at as he takes a draw off the Marlboro Red.
I know. And I find actually smoking to be super disgusting. And no, not for me. But anyways, it seems hot when he does it. It's very weird.
It's okay. You're on the outside. You're looking in.
You're on it. You know the stain one-liners.
I do. That's all your fault, Kelly.
I know. I know. If I can make one fan at a time, that's what I'm trying to do. Well, they're not even a band anymore, but that's okay. I mean, they still have lots of albums you can listen to. So, but you told me something today I didn't know.
And if I get this wrong, God knows the internet is full of white people who are just waiting for somebody to fuck up a Pearl Jam factoid. It was just sitting at the keyboard right now, feverishly typing away. But fact that there are several of those types in the group, in the Place to Be Nation chat, who will be more than happy to correct me. Love those guys. But it's my understanding, and I may have this wrong, but I don't think there's a video that Pearl Jam made after Jeremy, because they got so much shit from the video basically being a school shooting scene that they said, all right, fuck it. You're going to give us shit? We're not going to do any more videos anymore in life. Deal with it.
Yeah.
And just knowing how Eddie Vedder was back then, you know, that checks out. The whole Pearl Jam thing, not wanting to work within the system.
Yeah.
You know, I get it.
Which back then, that was like a big thing because music videos were still, I mean, people still make music videos, but they're not such a big thing now. I don't think. I mean, I watch them, but I don't think most people do.
No, they're not the huge budget, multi-million-dollar productions that they were at their peak, for sure. In fact, I get somewhat surprised when I stumble upon a music video. Like, I forget they were ever a thing at this point.
Yeah. Oh, people still make them.
Now they just go straight to YouTube or Vevo or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember, like, 3 years ago, I was home on New Year's Eve because that's the kind of super cool party guy that I am. And VH1 had a...
I've been home on New Year's Eve for like 15 years.
VH1 had a top 50 videos of the year, like countdown they were going. I'm like, holy shit, there are 50 music videos in, you know, 2014 or whatever this was. Like, my mind was blown. But yeah, they're still a thing. Just kids today don't embrace them like we did.
Mm-mm. My daughter watches them all the time. There's a video... We're way off track right now, but there's this video I saw... And it's called Happy or Happier or whatever. Anyways, I saw it. It's about a dog and I was freaking bawling. And I sent it to my daughter and her friends came over one night and there's four of them here. And she's like, let's watch this video. And they were all crying. And I was like, this is horrible. But it's a good song and it's like a really good message. But it's like it'll get you. I bet you cry. I'm going to send it to you.
Yeah, sure. What will get me crying on the air?
No, I mean, you can watch it before you go to bed tonight.
Like Sarah McLachlan and her caged pups.
Yes. Yes. Oh, goodness.
All right, Kelly, you want to get into the lyrics here for Black?
Yes. And I'm going to tell you, this was harder than I thought. So I'm going to really look for the Steve feedback on this because I had a lot of different thoughts when I was going through these lyrics. So I didn't really Google too much because that gets in my head about, you know, what other people's thoughts are. So so it starts out, sheets of empty canvas, untouched sheets of clay were laid spread out before me as her body once did. So I don't know. I could be kind of off on this. I was thinking two things. So for one, I always took that as a very sexual reference whenever I would hear that song, just, you know, obviously, you know, spread out legs, whatever, as she once did. But then I was kind of thinking more of like, because I tend to think this song's about love and heartbreak or whatever, losing somebody, like most songs I feel like I pick. but that maybe she was like his muse for his artist, you know, for his artistry, whether or not actually that he was maybe an artist, but in his way for music, or, you know, everyone has something that they have a hobby for or whatever, and that someone might be a muse for them for that. So that's kind of what I was thinking. But you got?
I think you nailed it with the muse point. I don't think he was literally playing with clay.
Yeah.
Just sheets of empty canvas. You know, he's lost his motivation having lost this woman.
Yeah.
The empty camp, because these aren't even the same thing. Empty canvas would indicate a drawing or a painting. Untouched sheets of clay would indicate he's a sculptor.
Yeah.
No, these are ways of saying that he is having trouble proceeding with his motivation to make art because this person he loved is no longer a motivating factor in his life.
Yeah. Awesome. Exactly what I thought. So, okay. And then it has all five horizons revolved around her soul as the earth. As the earth to the sun, now the air I tasted and breathe has taken a turn. So I know it's kind of a lot right there, but I feel like, I don't know, just that maybe his life kind of revolved around this person and, you know, now you don't have him around. And, you know, that is a different feeling when you, especially if you didn't want to lose that person. And the way I feel about this song is it wasn't somebody that he or she, whoever, I'm going to just say he didn't want to lose. And so just knowing, you know, it's just different. If you have someone in your life like day in and day out, your life kind of revolves around them and then you don't have them, it's just, it's going to feel, I mean, it's heartbreaking. So,
yeah, I don't really have anything to add to that. There's
some, anything to add?
There, this Five Horizons thing got a little too artsy for my taste.
Kind of religious. Yeah. Or is that a religious thing?
I don't know. And frankly, I didn't bother looking it up.
Thanks, Steve. See, I told you you weren't prepping today.
Because I was down with the Ebola virus all week.
Oh,
I was here fighting off full-blown AIDS. And here you are selfishly expecting me to do homework.
It's the year 2018. You're full of AIDS.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
I got it from a drinking fountain.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's horrible. Oh,
but now the air I tasted and breathed has taken a turn. That is a very poignant point there. That's a very vivid description of depression to me. Like, nothing's the same when you're caught up in your feelings like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're not enjoying anything the way even the air he breathes just isn't giving him the same vitality.
I'm pretty impressed. That's impressive. Okay. And then he's got, "Oh, and all I taught her was everything, and I know she gave me all that she wore. And now my bitter hand chafed beneath the clouds." So it's just, again, like, of course, she didn't give him everything she wore, like her clothes. I don't feel as much as like maybe her is, you know, I don't know. I was thinking this more about, you know, someone that shares with you their thoughts and their, you know, their brain, whatever, their intelligence and that kind of thing is what I was thinking. So that, you know, that's what she gave back to him. But I don't know. I was kind of lost on that next part. What you got?
Yeah, I think it's more of an exchanging of ideas, as you said. And maybe all that she wore is more of an emotional sense than obviously literal clothes. I doubt he was walking around Seattle in her sundresses.
Yeah. You don't know that for sure.
You know, it was 1991. Seattle was a much different town. I can't rule it out. But, however,
I thought I was going to live there probably in 1981.
That's phenomenal.
Or 91, sorry.
Say, all that she wore, you know, it kind of ties in with having one's heart on their sleeve. You know, you're wearing your emotions.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now my bitter hands chafe beneath the clouds. You know, that's all I have left is discomfort. In the wake of this fallout of the relationship going bad.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that. Okay, so then we got, "Of what was everything? Oh, the pictures have all washed in black, tattooed everything." So, I don't know. I kind of felt like the way I took this is, you know, like you could get rid of pictures or burn them or whatever, you know what I mean? But you're still going to have like permanent memories of somebody and you can never really get rid of that. But I don't really know. It kind of threw me, but I was just thinking, I know tattoos aren't permanent today. Everybody likes to say that. But I mean, technically back then, if you got a tattoo, you thought you were going to die with that thing on you. So that's kind of how I take that.
Yeah, I think all the pictures I have all been washed in black. It's more the metaphorical black cloud hanging over him now.
Oh.
You know, he's got the pictures, but you know, he's not looking at them the same. Just like the air he breathes isn't the same. He's not seeing the same beauty now that there's this heartache.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always going to be a bittersweet thing from here on out. That same happiness won't be there as long as this woman is gone.
You got it, Steve. Okay. I agree with that part. All right. So then he's got, "I take a walk outside. I'm surrounded by some kids at play. I can feel their laughter. So why do I see her?" And I mean, I think, I mean, this is obvious. I don't know. To me, it's like kids, kids should bring you joy. I mean, I know some people that don't like children, but I think if you're, if I'm walking anywhere and a toddler comes up to me and tries to, like, I saw a video the other day, this toddler was going around the park and, like, hugging everybody. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, it was the most heartwarming thing I ever saw. So it's like, if you're around, you know, kids and they're playing and they're laughing, that should generally make you feel good. And I just think for this, that was just, that wouldn't even change his mood. I mean, because of how sad he was.
All right. Quick sidebar.
Oh, gosh.
I was at McDonald's once years ago with my daughter. She was playing in the playpen thing with the balls and slides and all that. And some random toddler runs up to me and says, Daddy. And my first thought was not joyous. My first thought was, I hope not.
That's a scary thing about being a man, because, see, like, we know if we had a baby.
the child's mother quickly approached, and I did not recognize her, so I was able to rule it out. No, I'm not this child's father.
That is pretty scary.
I gave the kid a high five and said, better luck next time.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
And went back to my quarter pounder. Yep. But, yeah, if you're one of those types that are deeply into the depression, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you're like this, sometimes when you're feeling that way, like, people being happy, even adults being happy around you, you're like, oh, fuck off, you know?
Oh.
I don't have time for your smiles right now.
Okay, yes, I've been there in my life. Yeah, yeah.
You will not shine light on my dark day, damn it. Give me your misery.
I don't want any of your, yeah. Well, and it is kind of, this is going to sound super hurt, like, heartless, but I remember, you know, back before my mom had died, people would come in my job and they would be like, somebody died. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, like, I'd want to cry with them. And I would feel so, like, and now, because I've lost both my parents, and then people come in and they're like, you know, they look like they're 70 and then their parent died. And it's like, it sounds bad, but I'm kind of like, yeah, you had them a long time. And that's horrible. Like, I shouldn't even say that out loud. And it's like, because I'm like, well, I don't feel like I feel as bad for them as I would have had I experienced. And that's horrible. I don't even know why I'm telling people that. But it's just how you feel sometimes. And that's the same thing when you're not feeling happy. Maybe you don't want to see other people be happy. But yeah. I always like seeing kids being happy. So,
you know, there's no right way to grieve. I think it would be severely misplaced if someone were to judge you for what you just said.
No, I don't think anybody would. But I mean, I feel bad when I think that sometimes. I'm like, oh, they were 75. Like, that's good. You know, and I mean, that's like, you had them for a long time. Well, and I, of course, sympathize because that's my job. But I don't get, like, teary eyed. Like, before, I'd be like crying with them. And, you know, and it's, you know, there's different situations or customers I've known a long time or whatever. But most of the time, I'm just kind of like, yeah, well, you know, I've been through it. It hurts. Like, you know, it's, that's very, you know, but it's the same kind of idea to me. So
it was a good run, Bubba.
Yeah. I don't know. It's horrible. Okay. I need to work on the sympathy in that department a little bit. Okay. I'll get us back on track maybe. Oh, and twisted thoughts that spin around my head. I'm spinning. Oh, I'm spinning. How quick the sun can drop away. So I guess just more on that same line. I mean, when you're, you know, having bad thoughts, it's easy to just feel down, you know. I was kind of thinking, I don't really know, but that head spinning thing. I know for me, like, if I ever feel like I get anxious about something, or that's like a feeling that I will feel, like, literally, and I don't know if that's what he meant, but I'll actually feel like my head's spinning, you know, and I'm gonna, like, okay. Kind of freaks me out sometimes. But I've experienced that physically, actually. It's probably in my head, but I don't know. What you got there?
You know, the twisted thoughts that spin around my head, I'm spinning, while I'm spinning. Sometimes when you're already in a altered state emotionally, either sad, depressed, incredibly anxious, as you said, sometimes that can feed into your decision-making process, and that you maybe do something out of character, and, like, you just can't help but fuck it up and make your situation even worse. I don't necessarily know that's what he's going for here, but it kind of feeds into this next part where he says how quick the sun can drop away. You know, it's like, all right, things are already bad. Now, like, how quickly can every bit of brightness possibly disappear from my life at this point?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I feel like you just, it feels, oh, this is gonna, you know, but if this is like a young first love, everything is so dramatic. You know what I mean? You're just like, oh, the world's gonna end. I'm gonna die. Like, you know what I mean? But as you like go along in life, you're like, I'm strong. Like, I can get through this. I'll be okay. You know what I mean? But sometimes that overreaction feeling to me sometimes is a little bit of like, maybe the first time you're hurt and you're just like very shocked, you know, and then you kind of go, oh, I felt this before.
And your heart is so broken. You don't know what to do until you find yourself standing outside of the door in the rain, waiting for Corey's parents to answer the door.
Exactly.
Shout out to the best Boy Meets World 2-part episode of all time.
All time. Is that the only 2-part episode?
No, I know. Okay. I think when Sean's dad died, that was also a 2-parter.
Oh, yeah.
Unusually heavy show. We need to work it out, Boy Meets World special at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Shows with friends.
That's what Zoe wants to do. That's not the name she came up with, but that's pretty good. Oh my gosh, that's funny. I don't know, because this next part, I was going to kind of skip it because it's kind of a repeat of the chorus above. But before he says, and now my bitter hands chafe beneath the clouds. And then he says, and now my bitter hands cradle broken glass. So I don't know what the, I don't know. What do you think the difference of those two are?
Well, that feeds into the next line. And now my bitter hands cradle broken glass of what was everything all the pictures had. I think he's using pictures more of a metaphor of these memories.
Yeah.
You know, I used to have these beautiful memories of this person. Think of it as a framed photograph. And now instead I have a black picture, broken glass of what's left of the frame. Like, there's no happiness left. The closer I clutch onto this broken glass, the more I'm going to hurt.
Yeah.
So I need to just let this go and move on.
Look at you, Steve.
See, who says you need a prep? Damn it, get out there and call it in the ring like the old-timers did it.
I'm an overthinker, overanalyzer. We don't just, like, we don't do things on the cuff like that. That just doesn't work.
I'm a seasoned podcast veteran now.
You are. I am not.
14 episodes into Songs with Friends. I'm a grizzled vet.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even still believe I do this. Okay. Okay. And then he has, all the love gone bad, turned my world to black, tattooed all I see, all that I am and all that I'll be. So, again, you know, kind of the same stuff. Do you have something to add on that?
No, really hammering the same points home here.
Yeah. And then, but this last part of the song, to me, and it's just me maybe, but this part of the song always, like, I just feel like, man, every time I hear it, even when I was listening to it this week, because I listened to it a lot more than I had in a long time, and this part of the song just, like, hits me. So he goes, I know someday you'll have a beautiful life. I know you'll be a star in somebody else's sky, but why can't it be mine, basically? Well, why can't it be? Why can't it be mine? And that is, like, ugh, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah,
so,
that's heavy.
Yeah, that's heavy. So it just, I mean, you don't even really need to explain it so much, but I was just thinking, like, yeah, I mean, it's hard when you love somebody and they don't feel that way back to you, you know, and you want them to be happy, but you just wish that was with you. And that's gut wrenching. I don't really know what else to add to that, but that whole part of that song just, like, always hits me when I hear it. So yeah,
not only knowing that they don't feel that way about you, but knowing that they will be able to find someone else who sees them that same way, that you know exactly how you feel and you want to give them that. Not only do they not want to reciprocate, but they are going to let someone else give them that.
Oh, yeah.
That's a tough position to be in.
Mm-hmm. But I think everybody's at some point, you know, probably had something like that happen, you know? I mean, it's just...
Oh, I think I know a fair bit of people who have experienced this multiple times in their lives.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking, like, I know people who get their heart broken kind of easily, and then it's like, which is good, that's fine, but I mean, you know, and then there's some real heartbreak shit, but who am I to judge how we feel? So, yeah, that was really uplifting.
You know, that's what we do here. We bring smiles to the faces of the Place to Be Nation.
Like, I pick the very sad, non-uplifting songs, and then you give us this stuff.
And then I bring us a song literally called Sunny.
So that's just how that goes.
All right, anything else you want to add to the breakdown of Pearl Jam's Black?
Nope, I'm good.
All right, so now we're going to move on to my pick for this week. This is from the 2000 album, I Just Want to Sing, all one complicated word. And also from the Nutty Professor 2 soundtrack, as is seen in the music video here with some fantastic product placement. This song is called Just Friends, and then in parentheses, Sunny. This is by Music Soul Child. I don't think I mentioned that. I picked this song because this, one, it's a happy song. It makes me smile. And two, because it absolutely changed the way I approached women way back in the year of our Lord 2000 and 2001.
Wow.
You figure somebody my age coming up with kind of a passing interest of R&B, the love songs I listened to were like Boys to Men and just that ilk. You know, this everything had to be super dramatic. Let's all get matching outfits with our three brothers and pledge undying devotion. So, like, I thought that's how you approach people.
You know what? That is a good point, Steve. That's confusing for a young man.
Especially a young man as me, who girls weren't really looking at me at all until I was about 16. Like, yeah. I had no idea how to make that transition. I thought it had to be some grand production of some sort.
Yeah.
So I was real big on big confessional letters that got me laughed at. And just a lot of unreturned love in my young days.
Oh.
Hey, it's all good. It all turned out okay in the end. But, yeah, like, just the transit, just the idea of, hey, you know, I'd like to know more about you. If you want to do that, that's cool. If not, that's cool, too. Like, that was a game changer for me. I'm like, you know what? That makes sense.
Well, it's funny how there were boys that seemed like they knew that in junior high. You know what I mean? Like, now that you're, like, bringing this up, like, there seemed to be kids that were smooth in middle school. It's like, who taught them?
Yeah, that is an inherent thing in some kids. I was not one of those kids, by God.
Yeah.
I knew jack shit.
Yeah.
Part of it is having a dad who just didn't share these things with me. Not having any older brothers or anything.
And then your parents have been together for a long time. So granted, I'm not sure that he's probably wasn't.
My dad is not a smooth kid. My dad could barely talk.
Yeah. But that's the point. He's like, I'm not looking for women. I have your mom and I've had her forever. So I'm good.
But yeah, this whole idea of knowing how to talk to people. It wasn't there for me. So let's get into it.
Just girls?
Well,
or just generally you felt that way?
Well, I still kind of do this. Like, wrestling was the way I made friends growing up. Like, I would find the two or three weirdo kids who liked wrestling, and that's what we would talk about because I was obsessed
now
with it.
Now you know, like, a million of them. No, I'm just kidding.
True. Like, it's – I'm way more well-known than I like to admit in that community now, and it terrifies me sometimes. But –
you love it.
It's funny. Now I'm like one of the more normal-ish dudes in that community, which is just amazing to me that I'm considered that in any group of people.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right. So we start out with music. Dude's first name is Music, by the way. How smooth is that? If my name is
Music with a Q.
Say, if my name is Music with a Q, I don't think I would have had any issue at all picking up games in my youth.
You know what? That's parents. That's right. Think more about that name you give your kids.
Yeah, they named me after the dude from Journey. So I was behind the eight ball. That's not a lie. I was literally named after Steve Perry because that's what happens when you have 16-year-old parents in the year of our Lord, 1982.
Well, you know, Journey still, I mean, you know, you get Journey on in a bar and people will get going. So
true.
You know.
Yeah, take that, JT, you hating ass bastard.
He doesn't like Journey?
He hates Don't Stop Believin'.
Oh.
As he's mentioned several times on No Holds Barred, I've not had an outlet to counter that. So yeah, now that we're talking about it, you can't hate on Journey. Journey's classic.
Yeah.
All right.
I dig it.
So he says, girl, I know this might seem strange, but let me know if I'm out of order for stepping to you this way. Now, Kelly, how would you react to this opening salvo of someone stepping to you this way? Would they, in fact, be out of order?
It's just a weird way to put it. But if it helped you, I'm kind of feeling like, yeah, no, I'm an awkward person. I feel very uncomfortable no matter what someone said to me. So it's just not.
Now, I ask you this.
I don't know.
Because you are like a beautiful woman. I don't think anyone who's seen your picture would deny this. So I'm sure you have had people stepping to you in all sorts of ways. Is this particular method out of order?
Yeah, no, I haven't had that said to me, though.
Now, here's where he takes a slight turn into creepiness. See, I've been watching you for a while. Now, I don't know if he means just from across the room at this party.
Yeah, see, that's actually creepy.
Yeah.
Like, don't say that. Yeah, don't say that.
That's ill-advised.
The one thing that does make me uncomfortable is, like, the stalker-ish type feeling, you know, or, like, I don't find that sweet. But, you know, some girls do, so I'm not, you know.
Oh, somebody posted on Twitter yesterday screen grabs of a conversation where this guy jumped in some girls' messages. And it's like, so, are all the women in blank county as hot as you, or are you the exception? And at first she's flattered. She's like, wait a minute, how do you know I live in that county? He's like, oh, I've done research. And she said, no, for real, tell me how you know this. And he's getting all offended that she's calling him on his creepiness. She said, no, for real, it's a matter of safety. Tell me how the fuck you know where I live.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but don't do that, guys. Don't be a creep.
Yeah, that's why you got to be careful what you, you know, put on the internet, I guess. Or, ooh.
See, I've been watching you for a while, and I just got to let you know that I'm really feeling your style. Because I have to know your name and leave you with my number, and I hope that you would call me someday. And if you don't, you can give me yours too. And if you don't, I am mad at you. We can still be cool. Now this whole idea of leaving the pet, essentially passing the ball to the woman. It's like, hey, you know what? I like you. I'd like to know more. Here's my information. Feel free to reach out to me. I think that's... I know a lot of women who would not like that, but I like this idea of...
I like that.
Yeah, non-confrontational. Like, I'm not going to blow you up.
Yeah.
You just met me. You don't know me. All you know about me is that I've been watching you for a while.
Yeah.
So here, take my information. If you want to know more, that's great. If not, you know what? Enjoy your day. Nice meeting you.
Yeah, the very uncomfortable thing I think that happens, not that I go out that much, but is the kind of like, well, can I have your number? Just text it to me now. Or, you know, very like bossy, or I don't know what the word is. Or, but I have had people give me their number, which I think is a little less of like a thing. I'm like, okay, that's not so like pushy, I guess. And I don't know. Like, it's just, I think that's more smooth in my opinion, but I don't know. Some women may not like that. I'd prefer that.
Yeah. To me, especially nowadays, like you said, when people being on the internet, and you can find someone a lot easier. You know, a lot of people do have their phone numbers attached to their social media, so you can run their number on a Facebook or a Twitter and find out pretty much anything you need to know about them. Excuse me. So yeah, giving the other party the power, I think, is an effective safety measure in making your partner feel more comfortable.
Yeah. Especially, well, this guy's like, I've been watching you for a while.
Yeah, again, I want to reiterate.
I wonder if I think he meant that was just like at the bar, like, oh, wherever they're hanging out. I've been watching you. I saw you.
Yeah, that's what I think.
You know? Yeah.
Somebody catches your eye from across the room. Like, hey, you know what? They seem kind of cool. Let me go up and say something. If you do that, I wouldn't say, hey, I've been watching you from across the drama class of the YMCA with my buddy Lionel. Don't do that.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I would, back then, like, hearing this for the first time, I'm like, holy shit, like, that's perfect.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. No, and I will say this all day. Men have a lot more, I don't know what the right word is. There's a lot of things in life that men have the upper hand on, but when it comes to this type of stuff, they don't have it at all. It's really crappy because they're, you know, they kind of got to be the aggressor, but you got to do it in the right way. And you don't know what's going to offend a woman. And, you know, and I mean, especially like someone like me at my age, I'm like, I just kind of feel like men pursue what they want. Like, I don't really, it's not so much. I think a lot of 20-some-year-old, it's different. You know what I mean? I feel like the generations go on that women are maybe more aggressive in that way. You know what I mean? And, but it's like, I don't know. So I don't know. That's just interesting. But
All right. Where were we here? Oh, we can still be cool because I'm not trying to pressure you. Just can't stop thinking about you. You ain't even really got to be my girlfriend. I just want to know your name. And maybe sometime we can hook up, hang out, just chill. I like this idea of, look, call me. Just because you call me doesn't mean you're going to have to be my girlfriend. You know, I want to get to know you better. And that is really where the most effective relationships bloom. You get a good understanding of who someone is before you jump into that super serious phase.
Yeah.
Like, we can just hang out. Just come over. Like, nowadays it's Netflix and chill. You know, it's kind of what it moves a little faster, but it's still the same premises there. Mm-hmm. You don't just call somebody and say, hey, come over. I'm looking to do you tonight, for lack of a better word. Even in the super casual,
down with that.
Even in the super casual hookup culture, it's, hey, you want to come over and watch a movie?
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you've seen 2 1/3 episodes of Glow and things happen.
You know? 2 1/3. No, but see, I'm glad you kind of pointed that out, because I was kind of thinking, I'm not one for like putting time and effort into anything that I wouldn't feel that would turn out to be something. It's not my thing. So I actually feel like sometimes if I met someone and they were too laid back about that, like, whatever, yeah, we could just chill, no big deal, like that, I'm out. Like, because I need to know that like you're actually going to be like the type of, so it is weird. I think the way it would be presented to me can make me actually think that, oh, that's all you're into. That's not actually, and it's weird. I think you could be too creepy by being like, I want a serious relationship, but you can be too like laid back where it comes across like you're a player, you know? So there's a fine line there.
See, by history, once I hit adulthood, I wasn't really a pursuer at all. And I did encounter people who would tell me straight up, like pretty much what you're saying. Like, no, I want you to put in effort. I want you to show me you want me. And to me, it's like, all right, you're making a contest now. Like, I got shit I'd rather be doing than proving to you that I'm interested. Like, I'm calling you. Like, clearly I'm into you. Like, what else do you want from me? Like, I'm not going to build a damn arc in front of your house to show you that I don't want to sweep you away, damn it. Like, all right, well then, well, I'll see you around. You know, just up and, like, I've been known to just up and leave. Like, all right, cool, later. Like, good luck.
I'm not surprised by any of this information we're receiving right now.
Because I am more big on, I'm not trying to pressure you. And in turn, you shouldn't be trying to pressure me.
No, you're true. And you know what? That's the sad thing, I think, with guys now. They really have to, and some of it's for good reason, because there's some men that don't think women deserve to be anything but to be seen, or, you know what I mean? But it's like, you almost have to be careful. You know what I mean? Because you could really offend somebody next thing you know. So I mean, it's just like a no-win situation in some ways.
Yeah, I think the inverse of my super casual approach to this was also, if you know you're into somebody and you want it to be an exclusive thing, like, you need to let that be known.
Yeah,
you can't be out there having your feelings hurt because you were trying to be casual because you thought that's what they wanted. Like, no, if, hey, you know, we've been seeing each other for a minute, I'm into you, you know, Don't say what are we, because that's almost like a challenge. But say, you know, I like you. You know, are we together or are we not, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to be more, great. You know, if they don't want to be more, and you know, you're setting yourself up for failure, it's time to cut bait.
But most people will stick around and hope they can change that person's
true
mind.
It is. It's human nature right there.
It is. It is, actually. I think in like a grown-up sense. Like, I remember, you know, when I got my first boyfriend, I came home and I was like, you know, so-and-so asked me to go out with him. And my dad was like, where are you going? And I was like, to be his girlfriend. And it, you know, he's like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, why are you asking me to go out? Anyways, I don't know why that story always sticks in my head. But it's like, when you're in high school, you know, there's a whole grand gesture of this, maybe. You know what I mean? And then I think as adults, people just kind of, like, I know lots of adult couples that are like, we don't even have like a dating anniversary because it just happened. Like, we were hanging out and then all of a sudden we weren't seeing anybody else. And you know what I mean? And so in high school, though, it was this whole like, will you be my girlfriend?
Oh, yeah.
Out with me in grand gestures. I mean, I got a dozen roses, and you know what? It was just like this whole thing, and it's just, that's not really what happens so much when you're an adult, I don't think. So,
I've been out of the game for a long time. I don't know. Hugo, shut up.
Hugo did not like that.
Hugo is over here snitching like a motherfucker.
Oh, he is.
No. Hugo the podcast pup has got his head on my lap. He's been quiet for upwards of 40 minutes now, and now he's deciding he wants to make his voice heard.
He wants to be heard.
But, yeah, that makes sense. Because you're getting to know somebody, and sometimes these things do just happen. You just ease into this thing.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, there's two toothbrushes where there used to be one.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, I know a lot of couples are like, I don't even know what happened. Like, it just happened, you know?
Oh, I woke up and shit, there's kids here.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious. Yeah,
all right, so exactly. Now he jumps forward a little bit here. He says, damn, I'm surprised that you called. Because the way you walked away, I thought I wasn't going to see you no more. So, like, he walked away from this not even confident that his approach worked. He's like, all right, I shot my shot. And then I went back to the bar and drank my Hennessy and...
Yeah.
Hope for the best. But to me, that's cool. Like, he came in, he hit a spot, and he got the hell out of the way. Like, he didn't give himself a chance to fuck it up.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all you need is, you don't have to play to win, you have to play not to lose.
Well, and she called.
Exactly. It's such an unconventional approach that he stood out.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So, because the way you walked away, I thought I wasn't going to see you no more. Since you didn't want to give me your name, I thought, he speaks a lot of shorthand here. I thought that you were igging me and wasn't digging me. But anyway, what are you doing tonight? I'll probably be with my peeps. If it's cool with you, maybe we'll swing by. And you can just chill with us, or you can just chill with me. As long as you're comfortable and you feel secure when you're with me. Now, he's bringing the first date situation into more of a group thing.
Yeah.
Which very much indicates a person in their early 20s. To me, I wouldn't do that now as a 36-year-old. What the hell? I'm sorry, my dog is like shaking violently like there's someone outside, but it's just me and him here. Excuse me. Anyway, at a first date now, I am not bringing a woman around my friends. Absolutely not. My friends are a very, very eclectic bunch. I have two real groups. Who are as different as they can be, and I'm not sure that either of them are a great reflection of who I am.
Save that for after someone's in, so they have to, they're stuck with it.
After they're all in, then you bring them to that party.
No, I think this is like a childish thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think, like, you know what? I'm going to say this, though, and I actually should give him some more credit. So my second, like, first date that was my first real boyfriend, actually. He legit, we were 15, and he was like, I met him at a bowling alley at a birthday party, and he was like, do you want to go on a date? I gave him my phone number, and he legit, his mom picked me up, but we went to this plaza that had, like, a theater. Like, I'd never talked to him hardly, like, a little tiny bit at that party, and we went and saw a movie, and we ate, and we saw a movie, just the two of us, and I was like... It was kind of weird. You know, I was like, I don't really know you. I mean, I grew up with a girl that knew his family, so it wasn't like a stranger, but I felt a little uncomfortable at the beginning of it, and it probably would have felt easier if there were other people around. You know what I mean? But I was pretty, for a 15-year-old, I think that was pretty badass, actually.
Yeah, so. Kid had some moxie. I'll give him that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think this is more of a... trying not to put too much pressure on her, but I think he's gone too lax here.
Yeah.
But around the time I heard this, that is kind of how I was meeting people too. It would be like the second half of a double date almost type situation sometimes. Like, hey, y'all, this happened one time in particular. I just come out and say it. This girl I worked with was going out with some dude. She's like, hey, we're going out, but I have my friend with me. Do you want to come? I think you two would be cute together. And I had no idea what this girl even looked like. It was the middle of our shift, and it was going to happen that night. I'm like, oh, sure.
My gosh. Oh, yeah. No one had, like, phones with, like, photos.
No. This was 2001. Yeah. So, yeah, none of that. Like, if there was a photo, it would have been a Polaroid.
Yeah. Yearbook photo.
And the thing is, I didn't even really know the dude either. Like, we all worked together, but I knew her way more than I knew him. I mean, it turned out okay. I ended up dating that girl for a few months, but Yeah, it would often be these social situations, friend of a friend type things, which with a name like Music Soul Child, I'm sure he had friends who were probably savages. So bringing this pretty new girl into his group was an ill-advised move.
Yeah, that's really the big thing is like some guys aren't very, their friends aren't very good. Like,
no, they are.
They're not good about that kind of stuff. Like, I think my second boyfriend after my first one, his friends, he had a huge group of guy friends when we first started hanging out, and they have got to be, I'd probably say the most loyal. Like, I mean, he's known these guys forever and they're still friends. And it's like, as soon as he was like, I like Kelly, that was it. Like, you know, I never felt anybody be like inappropriate. And I just think that's common. I don't think that's common at all. Cause I think a lot of times people want people that even someone they really care about is with, you know, just because. And so I think that's kind of rare though with guys, because I don't think that happens very often.
I
shouldn't say that, but
I don't want to say you're right. As the advocate for men, I'm supposed to say all the good things here. But yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
As you would say, tell me the lie or whatever.
All right, where were we here? We're going to move on here. Stop thinking about you.
Can't stop thinking about you.
Sorry, I got to do like just a quarter screen here because I was having issues with my recorder. All right, he goes back to the chorus. And then just says that about 19 more times, it looks like.
Yeah. I think that we can hook up, hang out, or chill.
Yeah, hell, that's all of the song. He just says the same thing like 47
more
times. Yeah,
he says it. He repeats it over and over. Yeah.
So I apologize for being confused and losing my way there, guys.
Yeah, but this song helped you ladies.
I don't want to say that. You're making it like I'm some kind of damn player fornicator type person. But
okay. Oh, no, my goodness.
It helped me meet women. I mean, this really did shape every relationship I had for the rest of my life. You know, like I said, I wasn't a pursuer. Very rarely in my life have I pursued anyone.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is just letting things happen more naturally. You know, if I did meet someone that I liked, you know, I try to keep things loose and let things happen. Not always successfully, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you do have to up your game a little bit and pursue something that is more important to you if you know that's really what you want.
Yeah.
But, I think just in all, just casual, you know, not putting the pressure on yourself or the other person is a good approach.
Yeah. But you can definitely be too laid back.
Yes.
I think that's where, you know, I mean, it isn't, I know people get mad about this term today and I don't totally understand it, but that friend zone thing to me is sort of a real thing in a sense of like, I have friends that I've known, you know, forever since high school that just, I don't know. I don't see them as anything else ever. Good guys, maybe they're attractive, whatever, but it's just, we've just always been friends. I just don't see it. And I think you can let a period of time go by where it's just like, now you're almost like a brother to me. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Everybody needs like all kinds of good friends, you know, friends are awesome. You know what I mean? But you can let that go too far. Yes. And I think that's where some guys mess up.
Sometimes there's a very finite window to move on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always in the beginning of the relationship. Sometimes there are periods later on in the friendship where things can heat up. But if you don't take advantage of that opportunity when it's there, you know, that window can close.
Exactly.
Oh, trust me. I absolutely had relationships that started with me being very interested in them and them being very interested in me. And because I had an inability to make a move, it's like, oh, no, you're just a really good friend. I'm like, oh, fuck you.
I don't want to be your friend.
Right. I don't want to hook up, hang out, just chill. I want you to be my girlfriend.
Which is fair. And I do appreciate people that are honest about that. But, I mean, that's something that happens back, too. It's like, well, I'm not interested in really being your friend. I was being your friend with the hope that we could date. And it was like, oh, okay, well, I'm not into it, you know, but.
And it's better to say you're not into it than to lead them on.
Yes.
If you're not into it, you're not into it. Don't.
Yeah.
Don't keep it going just because you want to be nice.
I shouldn't even say this, but I have several girlfriends in relationships like this of like, well, he's decent. He's good guy, but like, I don't really feel about him the way I should, but he's good. Like, you know, and it's like, you should just get out, but they won't. So it's kind of sad.
All right. That'll wrap it up for Music Soul Child's Just Friends. Now, this is the part where we pick our songs for the next episode. And since Kelly went first this week, next week I will go first. And maybe it's a bad pick because I've already kind of used some of my best material on the Twitter machine for this one. But I'm going with Alan Jackson's Chattahoochee.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Kelly, what are you bringing before us on the next episode?
Okay. I know for sure you will not know this song. And it is very... Okay, it's a brand new song. I think it's, I don't know, it's on the radio right now. So it's kind of shocking that I'm picking this. But it's, I think, I don't even know how to say her name. I think it's Halsey is how you say her name. It's a girl, and the song's called Without You.
Halsey's Without You.
Yes.
So we're going for country and music. And it is from like 25 current, years.
Been on the radio today. Yes.
We're going from country from 25 years ago. And I'm not even a country music fan, but I know this song. To current day top 40. That is the kind of variety you get here on Songs with Friends.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and say this on the air too, because I feel like you should know, Kelly. I should probably smarten you up and not surprise you with this 2 weeks from now when we record again. But let's see. This is episode 14. Episode 16 will be our Christmas show. So next week, well, I have some things planned. But on the next show, I need you to have your song pick ready for our Christmas episode.
Oh, I need to have... Okay.
Yeah, I'm not saying it has to be a Christmas song, but I am bringing a Christmas song to the table for us.
Oh, okay. Wow. See, I feel much pressure right now.
See, I did not
do a good job. This is first I'm knowing of this.
I did not do a good job of not putting pressure on you. I have broken the Soul Child credo already. But you have
I got it.
You have 2 weeks to think about it.
You know, doesn't have to be Christmassy, but it's our Christmas episode.
Yes. Okay. At the very least, we will have the Christmas show sponsored by Hennessy. You know, I have some time off. You have some time off. We may put together some additional content. We'll see how that goes. But it's going to be a good time. I look forward to very much recording the Christmas episode of Songs with Friends.
Awesome.
All right. Anything you want to plug before we go?
You could just follow me on Twitter, Instagram at KelJean17, KelJean17.
All right, guys. You can follow me at NotDrDeath on Twitter, NotDrDeath. I'm going to go ahead and plug the Place to Be Top 100 Greatest WWE Tag Teams. That is open right now. You can message Place to Be Nation on Twitter or message JT Rosero on Facebook if you want in on that Facebook group action. What else do I want to plug? Oh, coming up soon, Place to Be Nation on the Pop feed. I am not a part of this, and frankly, my feelings are kind of hurt, but it's okay because I dropped the ball, and these guys picked it up. There will be a Saved by the Bell podcast series dropping soon that I believe Steve Willey will be a part of, so that should be... should be a hoot and a half. Also, you can follow the Songs of Friends Twitter at PTBN_songs, as well as our email inbox is open, PTBNSongsOfFriends@gmail.com. That is all I have. Looking forward to talking to you guys again in 2 weeks. For Kelly, this is Steve. Thanks for joining us.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero and Chad Campbell here, and we want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com, and we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Survey Says, Wrestling War Zone, a Monday Night Wars podcast retrospective, No Holds Barred, Jeff Learns Wrestling, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. On top of that, we're also dipping into the vault, re-releasing the entire catalog of Where the Big Boys Play for your enjoyment. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop feed is loaded with great content, offering such tremendous shows covering the land of pop culture, such as Geek and Sassy, Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Sunday Groove, PTBN Play, Freak Out Drive-In, Songs with Friends, Looking Forward, Looking Back, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Conversation Comics, DC Post Crisis Management, Marvel Age, and Marvel Age Masterclass. plus weekly pod blasts that cover the gamut of comic topics. The feed is also filled with insightful sports content, including the NBA team, This Week in the NFL, and more.
And you can find all these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlayStation.com. We cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.